Well, good morning and welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday for February 12th, 2012. Koyo Kubota here. Glad you've joined us. It's time keeps rolling along, and every month there's some kind of holiday, you know. I remember when we were in Japan, they have holidays. It's kind of interesting. They have a holiday every month that corresponds the number of the month and the number of the day together. So, you know, January 1st is New Year's Day, and then February 2nd is a holiday, and March 3rd is a holiday in Japan. It's, you know, Girls' Day. 4-4-5-5 is, you know, Boys' Day. 6-6-7-7, and so forth. I never realized that. And for some reason, when you think about money, currency, their paper money, the different denominations are different colors and different sizes, you know, which I thought was pretty smart, rather than in American currency, all the bills are pretty similar. You got to look closer. They're the same color, same size. You know, the denominations, of course, printed differently. But, and I was just thinking about the American Dharma holidays and the cultural differences in the types of national holidays in different countries. And we tend to take our holidays for granted. But I think it's a very opportune time to combine our spiritual practice with the natural excitement and cultural, you know, focus on our holidays. And, well, I mention that because, as we will see when we have our Dharma Glimpse, our guest today is Dave Joyo of Wisconsin. He's part of our Lay Minister 4 group that was inducted here in Course Code last May. So, without further ado, Dave Joyo Sensei.
Thank you, Sensei. Good morning, everyone. When I've had the opportunity to share a Dharma glimpse that's near a holiday, my thoughts really tend towards that holiday, and as a Buddhist, how do I celebrate it? And I'm always curious as to how other Buddhists celebrate it, given that there are so many different types of Buddhism, especially here in America. So today's Dharma Glimpse is St. Valentine's Day, and how would the Buddha love? The sixth Dalai Lama wrote, "If one's thoughts towards spirituality were of the same intensity as those towards love, one would become a Buddha in this very body, in this very life." The Zen monk Tai Chich Thong wrote, "Celebrate this day by practicing love and compassion. Embrace Valentine's Day as an opportunity to tell friends that they are loved and to pay special attention to people, plants, and other things in their lives." Lama Sir Adas wrote that Valentine's Day is one of his favorite American holidays. The fact that this heart-centered, if over-commercialized day, falls around the same time as the Tibetan New Year, reminds him to make New Year's resolutions relating to those that he loves and to renew his commitment to cultivating goodness of the heart. These resolutions usually involve opening his heart and mind, listening better, learning to forgive, and to love even those that he doesn't like, and come to accept and bless the world rather than fighting with it or trying to escape from it. As a Zen master Dogen says, to study the Buddha way is to be intimate with all things. Some say we're here in this world to learn and to evolve in consciousness. Certainly, primarily among life's lessons is how to love and to love well, and to be love, as well as give it and receive it. I believe love is central to happiness, growth, and fulfillment. So how would the Buddha love? By seeing every single being, human and otherwise, as fundamentally like himself, and thus able to treat them and love them in the way he would be treated. We call this infinitely benevolent, selfless love the awakened heart, the very spirit of enlightenment. Buddhist love is based on recognizing our fundamental interconnectedness and knowing that all beings like ourselves in wanting and needing happiness, safety, fulfillment, and not wanting suffering and misery. The Dalai Lama says, if you want to be wisely selfish, care for others. All the happiness and virtue in this world comes from the selflessness and generosity. On Valentine's Day, the Dalai Lama's quote of the day on Facebook is, all the positive states of mind, such as love, compassion, insight, and so on, have the quality that you can enhance their capacity and increase their potential to a limitless degree if you regularly practice them. So in closing, on this Valentine's Day, remember, love is a verb. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I really have encouraged all the lay ministers, Bright Dawn lay ministers, to have as a, you know, sort of a background constant theme that they could have in mind is this idea of raising our awareness of what we might call American Dharma holidays. And every month, as I said, we could choose from several holidays, the big ones, and then there are a lot of other littler ones that we're not quite so aware of. But, you know, in February, we do have Valentine's Day. We also, interestingly, in the Mahayana tradition, observe Nirvana Day, the day that the Buddha passed away, on February 15th. So very, very close. Sometimes I have given Dharma talks on Nirvana and love. And if one wanted to, one could take that theme as, even though we talk about Nirvana, see, Nirvana is an interesting word because on the one hand, we say it's a passing away, extinguishing. And when we say Paranirvana Day, meaning the great Nirvana Day of the historical Gautama Buddha's passing away, dying, that so Nirvana gets associated with death. And I suppose, how does that relate to love? It doesn't seem very close. I never thought about it too much, but I guess both can reflect the dynamic oneness of life. The fundamental two eyes of Buddhism, you know, interdependency and interdependency. When one dies, it shows constant change, impermanence, but it also shows the constant interplay of causes and effects and interdependencies and returning to the earth. And as it has been said, there's no death as such, only one eternal change. And love, too, one loses oneself, one's self-consciousness, one's dualistic subject-object identity of oneself as a separate, something separate and unchanging from life and from others, you know. So when we say, well, it's reality itself. Nirvana is not a concept. It's not something, you know. Because on the other hand, Nirvana is supposed to be the state of enlightenment. And love is the ultimate too, you know. And it has been pointed out that Nirvana, so, well, what is Nirvana? Is that, I remember my father wrote in one of his articles that the mother in a family, a domestic scene, and the mother's dinner time tells the child to go call your father, it's dinner time, and he goes to the living room and the father's fast asleep on the couch. He goes, Mom, Dad's in Nirvana. In the article, my dad would say, no, Nirvana's not like that. And what is Nirvana? Okay. In that article, I remember he said, well, you really can't put it into words, and no use trying to explain it, you know. You can't explain reality. And Nirvana is reality itself. That, you know, the dynamic nature of life. And maybe at the real core of it, we could relate that to love too. Sometimes it is said, God is love. And as the nice Dharma glimpse in conclusion, love is a verb. You know, Buddhism is a religion of verbs, not nouns. Usually we might think about religion, nouns. Here I am, here God is a noun, and we have a relationship between these two nouns, I and God, and I'm supposed to love God, you know, as a Christian. But in Buddhism, we talk about interdependency, impermanence, constant change. These are very dynamic concepts of movement, of change. So that we could say, you know, when we say God is love, we're meaning that it's all a verb, that God is a verb. I think that is a very expanding notion of what or who is God. Not the bearded white, long white beard man living upstairs someplace, but it's reality itself, isn't it? And then we think about ourselves because we got a name. Well, who is Koyo Kubosa? You know, like we're a thing, like I'm a thing or a noun. But if love is a verb, God is a verb, well, oneself is a verb too. We shouldn't objectify these things. Make it into an object. Okay, but we always want to do that as human beings because we want to put it under the microscope. We want to label it, categorize it. This is what it is. Okay. Whereas reality is something very dynamic, slippery. Truth is changing. Until we get over that tendency, then we're liberated. Huh? Language is a tremendous tool, but also a tremendous master if we, you know, and we could become a slave to it. How do we go beyond the subject-object, okay? The lover and the object of love. And that's why I think another expanding, liberating view of spirituality and religion is even within the Christian literature, the Christian mystics like Meister Eckhart, the mysticism, I'm no scholar, so I don't know all the definitions and ramifications of terms and so forth, but okay. What I've read some things that how I interpret it and what I impacted me. One was about Christian mystics. Okay, Meister Eckhart. I've never read his original works, but I should. He says his advice to fellow Christians is empty yourself of God. Instead of always saying, ah, God this, God that, that's objectifying God, treating God as a noun. Even when you say, I love God, God loves me. You know, with the emphasis on relationship rather than identity, you know. If we talk about reality and we say God is in everything, God is in the clouds, God is in the trees, what that? A sort of a Buddhistic, I shouldn't say Buddhistic view of it, would be this, you know, linguistically we could say, don't say God is in everything, just say God is everything. Not in everything. God is everything. God is nature. As I saw one bumper sticker say, I don't know who put that bumper sticker out, but certainly makes you think. God is nature. Nature's God. God is the natural world here. Is it? So in that sense, the non-duality, the oneness of life approach, Meister Eckhart is saying, empty yourself of God. Don't think about God so much as in a subject-object dualistic sense. Subject-object, two things, me and God. No, it's a act. Live. Empty yourself of God. Then God, there's more room in you for God to function. Isn't that interesting? And on the subject of love, one of my favorite elaborations is, you know, don't say. So the advice is, don't linguistically with language for the saying, oh, I love God, you know that? God loves me, you know. Because if you say, have to say that all the time, have to conceptualize it all the time, why? What? You should just live it. And just like in my example, secular example, is if you have to tell your spouse, you know, well, hey, I love you. We tell other people, hey, I love my wife, you know. I love my spouse. And you're always emphasizing this. You say, hey, I love my wife. I love my wife. Don't you think people might get suspicious? Even the wife might get suspicious. But you're saying it all the time instead of living it all the time. I remember when I was in high school, and I was at some youth group in the church, and I remember the minister, Buddhist minister at the time, he was saying to us, you know, teenagers, don't ever say I love you to, you know, your girlfriend or something like this. And, you know, maybe he wasn't too good at explaining things further, elaborating on it, but at the time I remember, what? Isn't that what the culmination of a relationship is? You know, and I didn't get it. But I think that's what he is talking about. That if you say, if that's the culmination, no. There is no culmination. You always keep going. It's always changing. It's not that changing, oh, then you don't love somebody. No, your love keeps getting different, expressing different, getting deeper and deeper. Love, too, is always changing because it's a verb. It's dynamic. It's reality itself. It's okay to have the labels, have the expressions, okay? As long as we don't get trapped by them and reify them, okay? Reification, reify means to make it solid, too solid, concrete. It's not flowing and changing, okay? Interesting word, reify. Another interesting word that I recently enhance my vocabulary with is the word kenosis. K-E-N-O-S-I-S, kenosis. It means to empty. And there are some books written by, you know, theologians, the emptying God, that God could empty himself of himself. So Godhead doesn't have the consciousness, I am God. Because God is a dynamic, flowing reality itself. Okay? If he wanted to use the word God. Now, this may be a very different kind of interpretation. I think it's expanding. This is what's crucial for Christian spirituality. The very basics of, you know, going beyond subject-object duality. And Christian theologians and what's called process theology, you know, involves this interesting notion of kenosis. So even when we talk about love, I remember there was a Buddhist minister who he was making this sort of same point, I think, and he was talking about two youngsters, two sons. He said, hey, there are two kind of sons. What do you think? And the son loves his mother, of course, in family. And maybe this is the good part of taking for granted. You know, where you're one with that person. You're not always thinking of the person in a self-conscious, dualistic way. Okay, of self and other. What do you think is healthier or more natural or more real? Two sons. One son really shows his respect for his mother and says, gee, mother, thank you for everything. I appreciate everything you do for me. And he's kind of stiff, but he's very aware of this. Says, I love you, mother. You know, you're so special to me. Versus another son, okay, this is hypothetical, who comes home from school and he throws his dirty coat or something and says, hey, Ma, I'm home. Can you wash up my jacket? And, you know, and he's so casual about it. What's for dinner, Ma? They're sharing life together. The identity of it, not the relationship, not the self-consciousness of it. This is all in there when we say love is a verb. You know, how to be selfishly wise or wisely selfish. Okay, the difference between oneself and other, the difference between egotism and altruism, and these concepts. Okay, in the Dharma glimpse, you know, it's a how would Buddha love? By seeing every single being like himself. And this reminded me of one of the Buddhas. He was going to give a talk, address some thousands of his disciples were gathered, and he was sort of on an elevated place called Vulture Peak, and he rose up to address this, you know, talk. And large crowd, and he saw shining faces. He saw a sea of enlightened beings. He just saw enlightenment all over. Oneness of kind of a love, if you want to put it that way. Huh? And he couldn't say anything. And he sat down. And the commentary says, well, some say that that was the greatest talk that the Buddha ever gave. You know. I think the Buddhist teachings, that's why when we say, someone says, oh, you're Buddhist, I say, what do Buddhists believe in? It's the first thing they non-Buddhists say when you get in a social situation. Oh, you know, That's the noun approach. Tell me the beliefs. Treating beliefs like nouns, like something, some object to believe in. Okay. Whereas Buddhist teachings are calls to action. They're not something just to believe in. It's something to be lived. That's when what we mean when we say it's reality itself. And it's very dynamic. Okay. So indeed, we could learn a lot from American Dharma Holidays. And I thought that Dave Joyo was going to mention that, you know, when he gave us a copy of the Dharma Glimpse, the first page was a Buddhist Valentine. Buddhist Valentine, and he got it online. And you know how the so-called Zen circle, Enso, signifying sunyata or emptiness or the fundamental absolute reality, okay? The circle and the empty circle. Well, this one, there's a little heart inside the circle, and it says, "You are always here," is written in there. Okay, and it's one flowing line, the heart, and then as it starts at the bottom, and then it goes to the top and makes the two humps, and then it comes down, and then it goes all the way around the heart to make the circle. A Buddhist Valentine, you are always here. Well, that is all for today's broadcast. Till next time, you keep going, and until then, you have a very beautiful Valentine's Day. Thank you.